What is up, everyone? Welcome back to Movies Chat. My name is Eric Davis. It's been a while since we've been together. I've had a little bit of a hangover since Comic-Con when it came to podcasting, but I'm back. We're going to try to do these as regular as I can make them. And today we're talking about The Dark Knight Rises. I wanted to do a podcast about The Dark Knight Rises, but, you know, amidst all of the coverage and all of the everything about this film, I didn't really know how to do it. I put it off. Then I read a piece by my friend Sean O'Connell on how The Dark Knight Rises ending almost ruins the trilogy. It's getting a lot of feedback. This is on Cinema Blend. He writes for Cinema Blend. It's getting a lot of feedback and some positive, some negative. I don't know if I agree with them. I said, you know what? Let's just have a conversation about it. Here's where we'll talk about The Dark Knight Rises on Movies Chat. So I want to welcome Mr. Sean O'Connell. He's been on this little podcast before. He's a writer and a critic for Fandango, for Movies.com, and for Cinema Blend, where this piece is at right now. What's up, Sean?
Hey, Eric. How you doing?
I'm doing okay. So you were one of those people that decided to write, you know, you weren't crazy about the film. I know right afterwards you weren't crazy about the film. You were really pissed off and thought kind of Nolan sold out a bit on some of his scenes and the direction of the film. And then you wrote this piece for Cinema Blend called How the Dark Knight Rises Ending Almost Ruins the Trilogy. It's got a lot of comments. It's got a lot of people that aren't happy. But you're really adamant. You're really upset about this. And so tell me kind of the thought process of the article and how you felt about the ending. And let me just say, this is going to – this podcast, if you can't tell, is going to contain spoilers. So, you know, listen at your own risk.
Sorry about that. You know, the ending disappointed me in a way that – you know – far more than the film itself sort of disappointed me. And the film, it wasn't that the film was a disappointment. It's just as it was playing out. And, you know, part of this is a repercussion of what we do, where we analyze every bit of it, you know, prior to the film coming out. And so we're watching a lot of these moments play out finally in the finished product. And so I was surprised at a few of the things, a few of the reveals, you know, as they were happening. And I did like a lot of stuff about The Dark Knight Rises as it was playing out, but it never ever grabbed me, and it never ever wowed me. And a lot of it was just because I think the tone was really glum and I didn't find Bane to be an interesting villain. But it wasn't until the last 10 to 15 minutes, and I would love to see it again to find out when I started really not just losing faith in it, but starting to be really upset with it. I think it was probably with the standoff on the bridge with Joseph Gordon-Levitt's character and the cops, and but then just a lot of the decisions that Nolan made in the final 15 minutes of the film really just not I want to say rubbed me the wrong way, but that's not even strong enough. Like, they actually flat out disappointed me. The use of the ticking time bomb, which is so just James Bond villain type thing and seems above the realism that Nolan has sort of been going for. The Catwoman kiss. The way that he revealed his identity to Commissioner Gordon, and then obviously the twist at the end with Bruce living, and all of it felt like not only just a cop out, but like a blatant sort of, I'm going to spoon feed you a happy ending, potentially a studio mandated happy ending, that's going to button up and answer, you know, too many questions that Nolan normally doesn't do in his films. I like to think that he prides himself on an ambiguity, you know, whether it's the spinning top at the end of Inception or the way that The Prestige ends with the reveal of Hugh Jackman's characters. He has these great endings that they deliver an ending, but they also make you want to talk about it more. And I've really felt more than any other time that Nolan was trying to, again, use the term spoon feed. And it just felt false. It felt wrong. And it felt wrong in a way that I've never felt with not only any of Nolan's Batman films, but any of his films, period.
And I mean, I agree to a certain extent. I think that my biggest issue with this film is that I really like a lot of the ideas. I think Christopher Nolan achieves sort of what you're supposed to do with a finale. But the execution of it, I'm not so crazy about. I walked out of this film kind of wanting it to be two films. I was like, of all the franchises that are extending their franchise, The Hobbit being the latest one, into another film, I kind of wanted to see this story arc into two films, to let some of the storylines breathe a little bit. But I mean, you know, I'm reading the piece, and you know, you're criticizing the fact that he let him live.
Right.
And you know, a lot of the commenters, and some of them I agree with, are saying, you know, Batman dies here. And I mean, I really feel like this franchise is about two characters. It's about Bruce Wayne and it's about Batman.
Right.
And this ending kills Batman, but Bruce Wayne lives. And it's almost like kind of Bruce Wayne. I mean, yeah, the flying over the ocean with the nuclear, with the atomic bomb kind of ending is sort of funny in a way, and kind of comic booky of an ending. But I feel like I like how he sort of gives two different endings. He doesn't just kill both Batman and Bruce Wayne and say, that's it, goodbye, he's done. He gives you two different endings for the two characters that we've kind of followed throughout the franchise. And you see a lot of that in this film. You see a lot of sort of what Batman kind of is meeting his match physically and intellectually. And then you see Bruce Wayne sort of going back to the cave, going back to that hole, kind of getting in touch with some of the feelings that made him want to become the Batman. You know, I wrote in a piece yesterday sort of that, you know, he spends three films getting the hope back that he lost when his parents died, spends his whole life trying to find that hope. And then he has to kind of lose it again in order to save himself and save his city. And I felt like that was such a very powerful kind of message. And it's a very powerful moment for me in the film. And I feel like Nolan ending the film like that and saying, look, I'm going to kill Batman because Bruce Wayne wants to kill Batman. But Bruce Wayne survives and kind of goes on and sort of gets rid of the burden of this. And, you know, you talk about the ambiguous ending and you don't know. You don't know where it's going to go and where it's going to happen. But I don't know. I felt like some of that I liked.
To not second guess the motivations of a director, because obviously it's his vision, you know, and all we can do is sort of comment on what he's given us. I really thought in watching it play out, see, it's funny because I thought he gave us indications in the scenes that he gives us. And this is all we can do, Eric. We can just read what we're given.
Yeah.
I thought he was giving us indications that the goal of this trilogy, wasn't it always to – Bruce always said, you know, what if I could be more than a man? What if I could be this symbol, you know, that was going to preside over Gotham and make Gotham feel safer because of the existence of the Batman? It doesn't have to always be me. What if I get to a point where I don't have to be this person? And I thought that what Nolan was trying to show us is that Bruce, he fell, obviously, and he found a way to rise up again. He'd established a way to, in almost passing the torch to John Blake, he had figured out a way to allow the Batman mystique to live on without him. He almost, throughout the course of this movie, we're told repeatedly that Bruce, he'd almost lost a reason to live because of what he's still feeling about the fact that he lost Rachel and he couldn't pull himself out of that funk. I mean, he's reportedly spent 8 years in this funk. I thought that Nolan was trying to show us, and maybe I'm just misreading it, that John Blake would continue the mantle of the Batman, that he would find the cave and he would find a way to, I mean, if the Gotham citizens saw Batman as someone in a Batman costume prevailing, you know, after he had reportedly survived an atomic blast, I mean, it would just make him that much more legendary. But then that awful, awful scene of the woman saying to John Blake, oh, I wish you'd use your real name. It sounds so much nicer. It's Robin. And it would, that kind of clunky exposition, I'm surprised Nolan signs off on a scene like that, because he just and I know you say that a lot of times in the last few minutes of this film they do rely on a comic booky type of way to do it.
A lot of the movie, I felt, even that Robin line, I felt like out of all three of them, this was the one that was most comic booky.
Well, and maybe that's my problem. Nolan hadn't wanted to do that before. You know, he almost went out of his way to not make it comic booky and to really go for a realism. Maybe if that had been his tone for the entire trilogy, it wouldn't bother me nearly as much. But it struck me as really odd and offsetting in this one.
It is a little offsetting. I agree with that, because the tone is very different from The Dark Knight. And you do kind of wonder why that is. And why he decided to kind of all of a sudden go in this different direction. And part of it may have been him finishing A Dark Knight and not really knowing where he was going to go and saying, I don't know, let's just go to the comics and right. find our third story in the comics. And when he did find his third story in the comics, maybe it inspired him to make this film feel a little bit more like the comics, sort of like, this is the way I'm going to go out. I'm going to kind of dedicate my last Batman film to sort of those feelings that I had maybe as a kid reading the comics and to give fans a more live action experience of what it is like to read the Batman comics, you know, growing up. And maybe that's kind of what he wanted to end on, those feelings.
It's very possible. I mean, the more I think about what's included in the film, the more I think that Nolan probably had a vision of Bruce dies, but Batman lives, and he lives through John Blake's character. You know, his symbol had been established in Batman Begins. The Gotham has a protector. It gets torn down in The Dark Knight because the symbol is now tarnished. You know, he's taking over the crimes for Harvey Dent. By the end of Rises, Bale has figured out a way to reestablish the symbol of Batman, but you don't need it to be Bruce Wayne. But then I think the studio, and again, this is speculation, I think the studio did say, listen, where are we going to go with this next? And a lot of these questions could maybe be answered when we figure out where this is going to go next. I don't even know if we're going to see a Batman figure on screen until we either get a Justice League of America movie or are we going to get a Robin movie? So the studio was like, listen, hey, you can't do this. You have to at least give us some indication that something's going to live on. And so you get a name drop of Robin that may or may not mean anything. You get, you know, this bad scene at the cafe. When Alfred was giving that speech, dude, I mean, that's a hacky sort of to reference that again and to go back and show it again. That's a hacky move.
Yeah, that is kind of, I think, and it's funny, and I always say this, I feel like I say this in all of our podcasts when I'm with you, and maybe it's a sentimentalist in me, but, you know, I'm more drawn to their relationship. It's the biggest, yeah. It's the greatest sense of family that's in this film is that relationship between Alfred and Bruce Wayne. And it really crumbles in this movie. And Alfred, he's got so much pain in him. And it's just like Bruce, he's just, he doesn't, it, I don't know if it's that he doesn't care or if he doesn't know how to care. And it's just like, I said at some point, like, I just wanted him to just wrap his arms around him and just say, you know, Alfred, thank you for at least trying your hardest with me. But he never does it. And it was a very quote unquote movie scene. The setup of I go to this cafe every year and hope to see you. And then guess what? He's at that cafe and he sees him. You know, some people, even Katie Rich at CinemaBlend tried to say, was that all in Alfred's head? Was this whole ending in Alfred's head? And then people were like, no, he talked too much about fixing the autopilot that, you know, he lived and that was real. And so some people are kind of trying to make an argument saying maybe it is an ending that's ambiguous. And I'm curious to see people talk to Christopher Nolan after this. I know it'll be a while before people can talk to him a little bit about this and ask him about that ending and see kind of where his head was at. You know, but like I said before, I kind of seeing – I don't think Bruce Wayne needs to die. Maybe the studio said to him, look, you can't kill him. You know, you just don't freaking kill him. But I mean, even if he killed him, I feel like in a few years and let's be realistic here. I don't know how long it's going to take for them to reboot the Batman series. But I mean, I think that even if they did reboot it and he came back, you know, I mean, the guy come, you know, characters die all the time in the comics and they find a way to come back. I don't feel like that's something that would have been that much of a hurdle, but you could see the studio saying it. But I also like the fact that maybe one of them dies and the other lives. You know, I've always viewed this as two different characters, Bruce Wayne and Batman. And right. I there's part of me while it may have not been executed perfectly, there's a large part of me that likes the fact that he gave each character their own ending.
I'm okay with that. I guess maybe I hold Nolan to a higher standard, and I love his meticulousness, and I love the way his puzzles fit together, you know, into these really tight pieces. And I don't know. It's all going to come down to a matter of opinion. I felt that there were too many beats that hit in a rushed fashion as Rises came to its conclusion. Whether it was, you know, whether it's Batman once again referencing, and I wrote about this when I had to revisit Begins too, the way that he reveals himself to Rachel, you know, by dropping a quote that she'd given him later. There was just a line of dialogue that who's really going to kind of remember that you'd said it to somebody. And I love the fact he goes to such painstaking process to, you know, protect his identity by not just saying flat out, hey, I'm Bruce Wayne, you know, and diving off the thing. But then the character always says his name out loud for everyone to hear after they've made the connection. So in this one, it's Commissioner Gordon. He references, you know, the fact that Commissioner Gordon put a coat around him when he was a kid. And I've written that I think that that's really cheesy and Gordon would never remember even doing that. But then, of course, people are like, oh, if he put the coat around the richest kid, you know, of Gotham's promo. Oh, OK, fine. Maybe he will remember it. But why can't Bruce just be like, Commissioner Gordon, I'm Bruce Wayne. I'm going to go jump in this plane now and ride into an atomic blast. That just feels kind of phony. And I never felt that Nolan, you know, delivered phony scenes like that.
I agree, you know, and I agree to a certain extent. Sure. And I feel like you know, when I read a lot of the comments, and we'll kind of start ending here with these comments, I maybe he gave the audience the ending that they wanted. You know,
yeah,
I feel like a lot of critics are complaining. You know, they've watched kind of Nolan and how intricate and you say meticulous he is, and we're expecting a little bit more care and maybe some finesse with this film. But maybe this is how the audience wanted it. You know, maybe the audience wanted something that was a little bit lighter, a little bit more popcorn-y, a little bit more comic book-y. And you know, especially with the Marvel films, they're very much like that. Avengers is very light in tone, very kind of fun and popcorn-y and comic book-y and suspension of disbelief. And, you know, an arrow can shoot an alien and kill an alien that's flying around New York City. You know, so, I mean, there's some crazy stuff in there, too, you know, if we're going to go there. But, I mean, you know, well, maybe the audience wants this. Maybe he saw that with The Dark Knight, and maybe this is – and looking at these comments, you know, a lot of people are kind of coming after you, which I never agree with. You know, I don't know why people get so angry, you know, over opinion pieces like this. But, you know, it seems like the majority of these comments is the audience really liked the ending.
Yeah, no, a lot of people do. I mean, obviously, a lot of people disagree with me. I'm glad that at least a few people are coming out and saying, hey, thanks for pointing all this stuff out. It bothered me, too. I just feel that in this day and age that we're living through right now, none of these stories can ever really deliver a sense of closure. I don't think the studios are going to allow them to. I think they always are going to say, we have to be setting up potential, you know, stories down the road. And this one, to me, even though we'd been promised closure, and I think we got it to a certain extent, there felt like there were these little cheap exits built in to, hey, it's, you know, the conclusion, but it's not really if we don't need it to be. Hey, would you come back for a Robin movie? And so we don't know until Warner reveals what they are going to do next. And I think that that Nolan did give them some safety nets, providing that they want to keep the franchise going, which obviously they're going to want to because it's a money-making franchise. But I honestly don't believe that he was allowed to give the full stamp of I'm done with this and this is my last thing to say on it. I do think that he had to put a couple of things at the end of the film, probably studio mandated, to say, listen, you can't close the door on this completely. We're not letting.
I agree, and if that is the case, in which it may very well be, it's sad to see, because, you know, are we ever going to be able to get a solid kind of trilogy again from a superhero or a comic book character that kind of is complete 1-2-3 trilogy that sort of ends the story and we all feel satisfied with it? You know, I was saying, you know, a lot of what they tried to attempt in The Dark Knight Rises is where Iron Man 3 is going. They're bringing Tony Stark full circle. They're going to kind of bring him back to where he was in the cave, back to when he decided to become Iron Man and all those things. And it reminds me of kind of a lot of what they were doing here and what a lot of superhero franchises sort of try to do with their third film, is kind of bring the hero back around full circle to where they started in the first place. Sure. And so I'm curious to see how Iron Man 3 attempts it, whether or not this will feel like a concrete 1-2-3 trilogy for Iron Man, or if it will just feel like another Iron Man story that can just become another Iron Man story, become another Iron Man story. Like, I'm curious to see, as we approach Marvel's first kind of third film in this phase one and two, whatever they're doing. Right. I'm curious to see how they sort of round out their first trilogy here with this character, and to see if they're more successful than maybe Christopher Nolan was with the Batman movies.
No, it's going to be interesting to see for sure. But listen, if Nolan didn't have the clout to put a definitive, you know, closed door on a franchise, then no director is going to have the clout, because dude, coming off of, you know, the most successful comic book movie of all time in The Dark Knight, and he should have just been given free reign. And maybe this was his ending. But you're telling me that a director that has told anyone who would listen that he has no interest in Robin whatsoever is going to drop a Robin reference in the middle of his movie, yep, or to the end of his movie? No, he's not. He wouldn't do that.
Yeah, I don't think he'd do that. And it's unfortunate, because he'll never admit what the situation was. Maybe years down the line, when he's kind of reflecting on his career, you know, he'll give some crazy interview where he'll say, "Yeah, and Warner Brothers screwed me on that third film," you know, or maybe this is the way he always envisioned it ending. We don't know. I will give you the Robin line. Part of me feels like he always envisioned Batman dying and Bruce Wayne kind of moving on with his life. I feel I like that ending. Whether or not it was executed the way I feel like it could have been executed, that's a different story. But I like that ending in theory.
Well, let me ask you a question. Not to keep this going, but if Batman dies in the atomic blast, right? And maybe I just don't remember this. How does Bruce Wayne die?
Well, I'm not saying
no, in the movie I'm saying. Like, they stand over a tombstone that says Bruce Wayne. Do we know how Bruce Wayne, since they're supposed to be different people, if Batman dies in the atomic blast, how do they explain to Gotham that Bruce Wayne died? Couldn't Christian Bale have just come back to Gotham?
Well, who was there at that? You know, I saw the film once and I'm forgetting, and now I'm remembering that scene. That was at Wayne Manor, right?
Well, first Talia al Ghul dies in the truck, and Gordon's there, so he has to reveal to Gordon that he's Bruce Wayne. I think Catwoman was at the scene of that crash. So he drives off. Yeah, at Wayne Manor, it's Alfred and it's Blake and it's Commissioner Gordon.
All three of whom know he's
right,
Batman.
Exactly. But I'm saying the citizens of Gotham don't know that Bruce Wayne is Batman. If he survived the atomic blast and the citizens think it's Batman who flew out to detonate the bomb, but he lived, couldn't Bruce Wayne have just stayed in Gotham? Why did he have to run off? This is probably a whole nother podcast.
Yeah, this is probably a whole nother podcast.
But that doesn't jive. I mean, if he kills off Batman, but Bruce Wayne wants to live, Bruce Wayne could have stayed in Gotham.
He could have stayed in Gotham. But I mean, I feel like Gotham to him sort of represents stuff that he – I feel like it's him escaping Gotham is also him escaping the Batman character. And who knows? He could be vacationing in France, and right, and him and Catwoman have been holed up in Wayne Manor doing you know what for the last several months, and they wanted to hop to hop a flight over to – what is it? Italy to you know, kind of show Alfred, "Hey, Alfred, you know, I'm still alive, but we're going to head back over to Wayne Manor because we get a tombstone.
It's Nolan and the none of it makes sense now. The more I think about it, the more disappointed I am in it.
I hear you, Sean, and we could talk about this for a long time, I feel. But thank you for coming on. Thank you for saying your piece. Thank you for letting me say my piece. And we'll let the audience decide, each individual audience member decide whether or not this film was successful for them or not so successful. Sean, have a great rest of your week. And I'm sure we'll meet up again here soon.
Cool, man. Looking forward to it.
Take care.